This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
Welcome to a Wednesday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where the producer of this show, Will Dalton, has spent most of the afternoon watching Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He watched it for the first time. He'll review it later in the hour. You sound like you're from London. The vibes are good in our Providence Lane studios as a result. As I mentioned, later this hour, he will review that classic. The vibes are not good with the Carolina Panthers right now. The injury bug has bitten them again, and it actually has me thinking about Tropic Thunder when Ben Stiller's character is getting pelted with gunfire and Robert Downey Jr.'s character simply says,
"Survive!
Survive!" That's what the Carolina Panthers need to do. They need to survive.
Survive!
They just need to survive and get to their bye week in week 7. That's what it's about right now. And you might think it sounds incredibly soon to start looking ahead to your bye week. It's only been one game. Not with this team. In addition to losing J.C. Horn for multiple weeks, Brady Christensen, he's been placed on IR. That's going to have him out until at least week 6. He joins Austin Corbett on IR, fellow guard, fellow starting offensive lineman on IR. Corbett, he can't return until week 5. Brady Christensen until week 6. And that's assuming that they're recovered by then. As for J.C. Horn, Frank Reich,
see that cash out, family.
Frank Reich says surgery could be an option. If you're thinking multiple games means 2, that sounds a bit optimistic after listening to Frank say this.
You know, we're still kind of working through that. You know, he's working through getting other opinions and just seeing the full extent of it. It is a serious hamstring injury that's going to, you know, he's going to be out for a while, for an extended period of time. But I still don't have enough information to kind of give a definitive statement on exactly what's going to be the course of action with him. Hopefully we get that answer in the next day or two.
Also, we still don't know about DJ Chark. It's a bottom 5 receiving group, and DJ Chark, he missed the opener, and Adam Thielen didn't look 100% either. The Carolina Panthers have 5 games between them and their Week 7 bye. And the 5 games they have are brutal. Monday Night Football against New Orleans. There aren't many teams in the league that I'd rather face less than the New Orleans Saints in their front. When you're talking about missing offensive linemen, it's a bad team to be missing 2 interior starting offensive linemen the way the Panthers are going to be missing Christensen and Corbett on Monday night. Then you go from Monday Night Football to a short week. And not only is it a short week, you're traveling on the road. And not only are you traveling on the road, you're going to the West Coast. That's not great when you're breaking in a rookie quarterback. The following week, it's Minnesota. By the way, Seattle, Minnesota, both playoff teams from last year, division champions. Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, that's quite a tandem. You're going to want to have J.C. Horn out there. You're going to want to have healthy corners out there when you're facing Justin Jefferson, and likely they're not going to have that. And then you look beyond that. You're on the road to Detroit with a great passing offense. You're on the road at Miami. Look at all the points they scored in L.A. in week 1. When I look at this, I think Carolina would be fortunate to go 2-4 to start the season. If they're 2-4, that's actually a positive, as crazy as that would sound. You just absolutely cannot start 0-6. If Carolina's 2-4 going into the bye, the rest of the NFL is not going to be paying much attention to them. But if you're a Panther fan, you should be happy about that, and it certainly doesn't mean you should write off the season. This is a bad division. We know that. Just look at examples last year. The Jaguars, they started 2-6, and they made it to the playoffs. You saw how close the Lions came to make it the playoffs. They started the season 1-6. The schedule down the stretch, it eases up. After the bye, 7 of the 11 teams Carolina faces did not make the playoffs a year ago, and three out of the four teams that did make the playoffs that Carolina faces are named Tampa Bay, who's not very good this year, even though they won on the road at Minnesota. The Panthers, they just need to make it to their bye. They just need to survive. That's what Carolina needs to do, get to that bye week. On Twitter at WSJS Radio, it's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton is that producer of this show. I forgot to ask, have you seen Tropic Thunder? Do you even know what Tropic Thunder is? Okay, writing that one down. We're going to have to figure out a movie for you next week, and Tropic Thunder going to be on the list. WD still beaming, though, after watching Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Just by your vibe, I feel like that's one of the better ones we've made you watch over the last year and a half.
Oh, it was good. There was some good stuff in that.
We'll review that in about 20 minutes or so. It's the middle of the week, so it's about that time to start peeking ahead to the football weekend. And for the ACC Big Four in North Carolina, we're calling it Avoid Disaster Week. That's what this is, because all four of the schools are favored by more than a touchdown, depending on where you look at your odds. There isn't even a line set for NC State VMI, nor should there be. Duke, Northwestern, in Durham, are you kidding? Duke's favored by 18 points.
Send me that cash out, family.
A loss would be catastrophic for any of the four in North Carolina, but the team that's most vulnerable this week, most obviously, is North Carolina. It's the Tar Heels. Minnesota, and that's not because of North Carolina as much as it is, you're playing a good team. You're playing Minnesota. They're a legit opponent. Row the boat, PJ Fleck, the whole deal. And the Heels, kind of quietly, have not been a good home team of late. They nearly lost in double overtime to App this past weekend, but how did the last two home games a year ago shake out? You lost to a third-string quarterback from Georgia Tech, and you lost to NC State's third- or fourth-string quarterback. Lost both those games at home. So North Carolina, Keenan Stadium's proven to be a place that teams can go to and win football games. North Carolina needs to avoid disaster this week, as does the rest of the ACC Big Four, but they're most vulnerable. But I'm not excusing Wake Forest completely either. The Deeks, they face Old Dominion, but the game's not going to be in Winston-Salem. They're going to Norfolk. They're going to ODU. Wake, even though they beat Vanderbilt convincingly and beat Elon convincingly the way that they're supposed to at home, they still haven't looked all that impressive through their first two games, and now they're taking the show on the road for the first time. It's the first time Mitch Griffiths will start a road game. What's that going to look like? And ODU, they're not the easiest out that you're going to find on the schedule. They gave Virginia Tech some problems in Blacksburg. Sure, Virginia Tech isn't all that good. We know that. But this is a good opportunity for Wake Forest to show us something. For Wake Forest to show us that they are legit, you can trust them, they're heading on the road facing Old Dominion. So again, the schedule looks like this. It's NC State VMI. It's Duke Northwestern, which you could listen to on WSJS. It's North Carolina, Minnesota, and it's Wake Forest going on the road to Old Dominion. That's what we have in store this week. It is Avoid Disaster Week for the ACC.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Before we get into WD's review of Forgetting Sarah Marshall, because he's a procrastinator, he watched it at work today in the hours leading up to the show. Mac Brown wasn't supposed to speak to the media today, but wanted to after the NCAA's statement yesterday, which was essentially a response to what Mac Brown had to say a week ago when Tez Walker was denied his waiver. And Mac says he doesn't regret anything that he said last week. If he could do it all again, he would. He'll never apologize for trying to do what's best for a young person. And listen, Mac Brown means well. Nobody has ever said a negative word about Mac in the coaching community, and for good reason. He is good for college football. He's about what's best for college football. However, the statement was childish. It was. All caps saying, shame on you, NCAA. Come on. And the NCAA's response, it wasn't amazing either. It was, at points, condescending. At points, it was childish as well. That statement that was put out by the chair for that NCAA board and who happens to be the president of the University of Georgia. It's just another reminder that this is something we both love and hate about sports. But sports turns smart, grown people into children. It does. The way we react to things, the way that we watch what it does to us, our fantasy teams, these waivers, whatever, it can turn people into children. And I feel like that's happened on both sides of this. And I'm completely over this story, to be frank with you, too. Tez Walker, I felt, should have been made eligible. No one's really surprised that he wasn't made eligible, but it's not egregious enough that Mac Brown or whoever wants to burn down the NCAA as a result of it and go scorched earth. It just isn't. If you have any understanding, and Mac does, and he knows better, of how the NCAA is run and what it's comprised of and how rules change and such, I'm over this story. I am. I wish Tez would have been allowed to play. I thought he had a really good case. But he didn't. And now you have Mac saying, I just want to do this because he's such a great kid and all these things. I doubt, this is the skeptic in me, natural skeptic. I doubt Mac or any coach is doing this for a player who's not a starter, let alone a preseason All-ACC player. With respect, I just don't think you're going through all this trouble and putting your name on the line and doing all this unless it's a preseason All-ACC player that you think could potentially help you be a college football playoff contender. I don't think those things are, I don't think that's a coincidence that this happens to be the case. Oh, it just so happens that this guy is really darn good, and that's why we're willing to go scorched earth about this. Again, I think Tez should have been made eligible. Mac has every right to be upset, but the way that he went about it, I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was productive. I thought it was childish. I did. Mac Brown's not childish, but that statement was. And it was beneath him because of that's how much respect we have for Mac Brown. All right, let's get to At the Movies with the WD, Forgetting Sarah Marshall edition from 2007.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars,
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine!
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
Okay, what you liked, what you didn't like, we'll do best quotes in a bit, which should take a minute, and we'll see if you could get within 5 of the Rotten Tomatoes score. What did you like? What did you like most about Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Mila Kunis is excellent in this. She really is.
So is Kristen Bell.
Yeah, but Mila Kunis does it better.
What? Kristen Bell was tremendous in this movie.
No, she wasn't.
What do you mean? She was, you probably hate the character so much, which means Kristen Bell did her job fantastically.
But her character specifically, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Physically, yes, she's very attractive, but Mila Kunis,
okay.
She's
you
just
don't
in another
like,
realm.
You don't like Sarah Marshall.
No.
But you,
Mila Kunis.
You're not firing shots at Kristen Bell, though.
No.
Just checking.
No, she. I have eyes. She's good.
Kristen Bell is really what we're hitting on is the cast. Like you could not make this movie in 2023. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to afford it. Like, let me run through the list here. Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, Jason Segel, Paul Rudd, Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig, Jack McBrayer, Russell Brand, and Jonah Hill. That's not the complete cast, but that's it.
That's like Oppenheimer-ish when
that's
it comes to
saying.
The cast.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the Avengers. You couldn't afford
right.
it. Probably back then it was hard to afford it, but you convince them, hey, let's shoot a movie in Hawaii, and they get to spend a few weeks in Hawaii shooting this movie. That's how these things kind of get done. But the cast is fantastic.
The initial breakup scene also near the beginning, hilarious.
Oh, you're in.
Yeah.
You like full frontal Jason Segel?
Like it? No.
Oh, you were in.
But was it did it have me rolling? Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
What didn't you like?
Sarah Marshall. She was terrible.
Oh, come on, though.
She was terrible.
She was perfect. Perfect character.
She was terrible.
No, I mean, perfect narcissistic movie actor star.
Yes, like terrible.
I love, my favorite parts of this movie are the cutaways to the show she's on, which it didn't hit me.
What was the title again?
It didn't hit me until about the 12th time I watched this movie, what the title of this show is, which is amazing. It's called Crime Scene, the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the name of the show, which is just a
also,
scene of the crime, where you got Billy Baldwin coming in just like, it's going to be really hard for her to enter the pageant without a face.
Also, she got what she deserved.
Can you say catfights?
She got what she deserved.
So, again, you're hung up on the character. You don't like the character.
It's not this isn't a Kristen Bell thing. Kristen Bell is excellent. Don't make no mistake about it. But she had that coming. The fact that Snow left her, and the fact that the whole table at that dinner, when they were having very healthy pours of red wine over and over and over again, just piling on her. And then also, to go back to something I really liked about this movie, because I would find a new scene I like best, and then the next scene would be the next one I like best. We watched this. Me and Joss watched this on my side of the studio, and we keep the door open. And I was listening to it on my laptop, and you made me put headphones on for the contest.
yes.
He made me put my headphones on for a certain contest that happens in this.
Yes, there was a contest between Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell.
And Mila Kunis won. Just saying. Yeah.
Another reason why Kristen Bell was so great in this movie is that it was believable that Jason Segel would go back to her even briefly.
Oh, I hated that. That was another thing I hated about it.
Because of Kristen Bell. Like, she wasn't actually Satan where you wouldn't believe it. It made sense. What's the best quote?
From Dwayne the bartender. Because so many quotes I can't say on air.
Okay. It does cut out a lot of the quotes.
Yeah.
The ones that the FCC prevents us to say.
Dwayne the bartender, when he goes, this guy's like Gandhi, but better. He likes puppets.
Outstanding. Almost, I have written down here, almost everything Jonah Hill and Paul Rudd say.
Yeah. Jonah Hill, man.
I just went 6 to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
The weather outside is weather. Are you you're the guy from Kaiser Permanente. No, that's not me. A very underrated quote from this movie is when they pan back to like the red carpet and the photographers yelling at Jason Segel, Mutombo, get out of the shot! Mutombo, get out of the shot!
It's rich.
It really is. So many incredible quotes from this movie. Okay, Rotten Tomatoes score. Can you get within 5?
Let me give this thing a 92. We're going high on this one.
76.
Oh, why?
And that's been At the Movies with the WD.
A 76?
Yeah.
Why?
I didn't get to what I didn't like much about it. This is, again, after about watching it about 20 times. It's probably a little too long. It's close
50.
To 2 hours, and that's a Judd Apatow staple. There are a lot of things that you could just fast forward through. There's a lot of Jason Segel crying.
Yeah.
A lot of naked Jason Segel.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the Jack McBriar stuff on the honeymoon. Nah. Like, a little bit of that's fine. They might have, you could probably cut out a few of those scenes.
Oh, that was hilarious.
There's just a lot. It's probably a little too long.
The chessboard was pretty funny.
Your attention, please. It's
showtime. This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
On the front end, we'll admit this is a bit of an overreaction. So let me absolve myself in that this is an overreaction. There were some concerning things about the Carolina Panthers opener from a coaching perspective. And this is all directed at the head coach of the Panthers, Frank Reich. For one, the play calling wasn't that good. And usually, you have an offensive coordinator that you blame for this. Maybe you can change up the offensive coordinator. In the end, that falls on the head coach because you hired the guy. Not in this case. Frank Reich's calling the plays. Thomas Brown's the OC. Frank Reich, he's the play caller. And that fourth down call that he had, giving the ball to Chuba Hubbard in a short yardage situation, didn't make a heck of a lot of sense after you got stuffed right up the middle. But okay, that's just one call. What's a little bit more concerning, especially considering the position that he played, quarterback, and that he's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer type. Hey, Bryce. The fact that he's, you know, a veteran, been around the block a handful of times. Bryce Young throwing the ball 38 times in his debut. A little concerning. A lot of bit concerning. No Panther quarterback threw for 38 attempts last week. So it made me wonder, as I was watching, how much worse would Thomas Brown be at this than what we just saw from Frank Reich in this game? Now, breaking down Bryce's performance, there was some good, there was some bad. Here was Frank Reich after watching all the tape, as he said he would do, on how Bryce performed.
I think Bryce played well. One of the other things I thought he did well, I thought he threw the ball away a couple times. I think he had probably three or four throwaways where he's not taking sacks. We called a play. It wasn't there in the time it should be there, and he got rid of the football and threw it away. I thought that over the long haul, that's going to help us as a team. It's going to help us stay in phase and not take sacks. It's going to help him stay healthy. I just think that showed, and he's not – worried about his stats. So, those throwaways don't help your stats, but they sure help our football team. And I thought he did a great job with that.
Okay. That was Frank Reich on Bryce Young's performance yesterday, or I guess 3 days ago now, Sunday. These NFL weeks, Thursday through Sunday, and then tomorrow we have Thursday night football between the Eagles and the Bills. Right when the week finishes up, it feels like the next week is starting. So, Frank, the play calling wasn't great. The challenge in the first quarter, what was that? You lose the game, so you're not really thinking about the first quarter, and it's a two-touchdown loss, so what impact did it really have? But in review, Carolina, Frank Reich, challenged a play, talking about a spot on fourth down. It was already going to be fourth down, and Atlanta was pinned back inside their own 30. So, you're trying to pin them back a little bit further, I guess, but Atlanta was still in a punting situation, and you lose the challenge, and it was so blatantly obvious that it was going to stand. That one was a little concerning. He's a veteran coach. He should probably know a little bit better than that. And then you start diving into his record in Indianapolis. He wasn't exactly a world beater. His record, 40-34-1. That's not bad. I mean, having a winning record in the NFL, that's an achievement to have a winning record as a head coach. But then when you dive into his last two seasons, WD, 12-13-1 his last 2 years in Indy. Cut short his final year. He was fired halfway through the season, but 12-13-1 as a coach. Granted, a lot of this is overreacting, but I didn't love what I saw from Frank Reich in week one. That 38 throws piece of it, that's inexcusable. That's coaching malpractice. I didn't like the fourth down call. The challenge didn't make any sense. These are all things that fall on the head coach, especially when the head coach is the play caller. And
hey, Bryce,
when you look at the 12-13-1 record the last two seasons, it leaves you asking some questions. I bet you this is what it sounds like inside the helmet of Bryce Young, who has like the headset on when Frank's calling plays. Like before he calls a play, he probably says,
"Hey, Bryce."
On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in, if you have any contributions to add to our list of movies that are that is growing, that we need to narrow to four right now before we welcome Bryce Kenny to the show, who has a huge event in Kernersville this week, the Live Like Warriors event, which is a playoff of his Monster Jam truck, the Mohawk Warrior. He's a triad guy and a very interesting person. That event, again, is in Greensboro. No, it's in Kernersville. See, this is where I just rely on WD to tell me where things are from time to time. So here's what we got in terms of movies so far. Earlier this week, Sean Clark went out of his way to suggest some movies to WD. A couple of Eddie Murphy 80s comedies that WD had never even heard of. Coming to America and Beverly Hills Cop were those movies. I think out of those two, if I were to choose one or the other, I'd probably choose Beverly Hills Cop. Big fan of that. So that'll be one of the choices you can vote on. Another one is potentially Rounders, since how many times has this been on the poll? Like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, a handful of times, and it just hasn't been chosen, and we reference this movie all the time. Matt Damon, Ed Norton, John Malkovich. That one just seems like WD needs to watch it eventually. Darren Vaught has been texting me. He's been blowing me up, suggesting movies for weeks. And it's the same movie, Chef.
He's still Chef. On that?
So I watched Chef last night.
Yeah.
Very good. It's a very good movie. Jon Favreau, Scarlett Johansson, Robert Downey Jr. Really good cast in it. Tropic Thunder, we learned today, you had not seen. So that's something that we could talk about being on the list. Rocky IV. Josh McCown's hair had us thinking about Drago.
Not Drago.
No, not Drago. We've had Artie suggest Pump Up the Volume, which Christian Slater created podcasting in that movie, so it's something that has to be considered. Let's go to Joey in Thomasville. Joey in Thomasville, what do you have for me?
Yes. Hello, Josh.
Hi.
I just wanted to wish you a belated happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
By saying, happy birthday to you.
Oh, no. Don't do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Josh.
Mr. President.
Happy birthday to
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. It's hey, you know, have you seen, I bet you WD hasn't seen JFK.
I guarantee he hasn't, man. Hey,
well,
I just wanted to, it's a big milestone yesterday. Happy birthday to you. You know, as far as like to me, you're still a youngin'.
Thanks.
But I appreciate the show, and I know you had a great time yesterday with your beautiful wife at the Brazilian Steakhouse, which I agree with you. Earlier, you gave the tips. And you are 100% spot on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, stay away from the side. Stay away from the salad bar. Get some meats. Okay, so here's what I think we're going to do, WD. Because Coach suggested Beverly Hills Cop and Coming to America, we're going to do Beverly Hills Cop. Because you hadn't seen Tropic Thunder and we're literally playing clips on the show from Tropic Thunder, that'll be another one. Now we need two out of these three. And I'll let you help me pick it. Pump Up the Volume from Artie, Chef from Darren Vaught, or Rocky IV, because Drago and Josh McCown, and it might have ended the Cold War single-handedly.
How many do I get to choose here?
Two.
Well, because Darren has been on this, and I like Darren. We'll go with Chef, and yeah. I want to see what this movie that already recommended is all about.
Okay, pump up the volume.
I want to see that.
That's the fourth option. So there you go. Pump up the volume, Beverly Hills Cop, Tropic Thunder, or Chef. Those are your four options.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Back when my buddy Mick Mixon was the voice of the Panthers, one of the things I enjoyed about him was he'd treat our on-air visits as if they were catching up seshes. Hey man, we need to catch up. Let's just do it on the show. And then that's how we would catch up. Since our next guest is near impossible to ever get on the phone, I'm going to use this segment as a catch-up sesh. Do you know what I texted you earlier today? Do you remember? Hayes Permar is the guest, by the way, from Sports Channel 8.
I would say the ability to get me on the phone is only matched by the ability to get you off the phone. So that those two might have something to do together. You said something about a funny idea, but I don't remember what it was.
So WD and I were watching football at a sports bar that is not a sponsor, so shall remain nameless. And we were watching 7 or 8 games at once. And at the same, like within 5 minutes of each other, there were a ton of Fox games. We saw the new rules analyst that Fox has.
Oh, boy.
Do you know his name?
Dean Blandino?
That's right. Dean Blandino. And all I could think in my head was, if you're throwing to Dean Blandino, there must be a call that's flying up in the air. And that's all I could think of. And I don't know the rest of the song, but I just remember Dean Blandino appearing on my screen a dozen times over like an hour span. And all I could think was, when you're going to Dean Blandino.
I mean, yeah. You could also go Tony Bennett and like, I lost that call to Dean Blandino. High up on the replay, he calls me. It does have the... You're not crazy. It's got some meter to it. Dean Blandino does sort of fit San Francisco.
And rather than having a flower in your hair, it's a call that's up in the air that he's talking about.
We could work with it. It's not the worst. You're not crazy. It could be a decent idea.
Yeah.
I'm not also it's weird. I am I'm not retired, but just I used to walk around looking to be inspired. Like every kind of like you're doing, like every sports moment you're watching. You're sort of instantly playing as like, could this be a song? Could this be a song? Could this be a joke? Could this be a joke? And I got to tell you, when you turn that off, like it is off. Like
Hold one second. We might be able to put this up on the scroll is breaking. Did you rupture your creative Achilles?
No.
And are you like retiring? Because at your age, I mean, yeah. You did it for a long time and you were putting up great content despite your age. Doing it at such like usually it's a young kid's game and you're just crushing them with the content that you were putting out. Are you like contemplating retirement after tearing what it sounds like is your creative Achilles?
This isn't a terrible metaphor because I mean many people do say I'm the greatest of all time despite my lack of, you know, I don't have awards or really money I've ever made for anything.
And you're anti-vax, so that too.
Yes, but people still do refer to my creative skills as some of the greatest of all time. So your metaphor is not wrong there. I'd like to think that I'm more like Greg Olson and that I'm using my creative skills in like a different way and still shining and being awesome just in a different aspect. But I might be more Aaron Rodgers. I might just be broken beyond repair at this point.
Let's get to a New Orleans-themed Skips or plays with Hayes. It's Saints week. The Panthers, they open up at home against New Orleans, and we'll see what WD has cooked up. Maybe some gumbo for Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things, but he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like 06, getting busy with the sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick.
And Trip.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
What were you going to say?
Well, RIP, the lead singer of Smash Mouth. I feel like I need to say that every time we do the segment now. I don't even remember his name. The people dying cycle has moved on, and I can't remember that guy's
name. He's walking on the sun right now. It's fine.
He's just forever the lead singer of Smash Mouth. That's who he is. Is it Mark McGrath? Is that him? Is that him?
No, shout out to him.
Also, I was going to say, I'm always down to do New Orleans as a theme, but I was confused where it was coming from until you mentioned that that's who the Panthers play next. So I was going to say, you haven't given up on the Panthers season? You're still in? You're still riding this thing out?
No, I just think the division's so bad, and their final 11 games after the bye, I think there is a scenario. Carolina's not out of it, and they're 1-5 or 2-4 going into the bye week. So I'd say don't overreact with a young quarterback and a very difficult schedule to the first five or six games. Last year, Carolina started 1-5, and that Tampa game, they would have made the playoffs because of the division. Jacksonville started 2-6. Detroit started 1-6, and they were in contention at the end. So it's not going to happen. Fans will overreact, and they will check out, and everybody will forget about it. But I'm putting that out there right now that things are going to get bad in the next few weeks, and you might be 1-5, but it's not time to completely write them off yet.
Do you think they signed Tariq Cohen so that Bryce Young would have someone smaller than him on the team?
Great point.
Like that would bolster his confidence a little bit.
We have multiple things we need to talk to Tariq Cohen about. He is a triad guy, North Carolina A&T. So we need to ask him what you just asked. And we also need to ask if it's okay for white guys like me who did not go to A&T to say Aggie Pride.
Oh, speaking of which, when I heard that ad, the Aggie Pride on your radio, they need to splice in Roy Cooper's version of Aggie
That's
Pride.
What I'm we saying. Talked about
he
this.
He said it, so I thought it was okay, but Aggie people are hitting me.
On my computer right now. If you share the screen with me, I will give you Roy Cooper doing Aggie Pride.
Aggie people hit me up saying, you can't say that like the Gov did.
Yeah, no, you've got to put Aggie Pride in that ad somehow. Okay. All right, sorry, Will.
Okay, what's the first New Orleans-based song you have?
So there's more artists that I know from New Orleans than what I thought. We're going to start classy with Harry Connick Jr. and Just the Way You Are.
Don't go changing.
This is the song?
What is that face, Hayes?
Oh, you're going to play Darius Rucker's Wagon Wheel next?
Maybe.
First.
What's wrong with this?
It's not his song.
I mean, I know Harry Connick does famously mostly just do other people's songs. He's one of those like standard guys. Yeah. But also like
me and Permar went to go see the actual man who wrote this song in concert in Winston.
I'll see where you go with the rest of this. I just let's say I don't think this is the New Orleans jazz artist that Tariq Cohen would have picked. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm trying to say here.
Aggie Pride.
Roy Cooper might have picked Harry Connick Jr. Josh Graham, Harry Connick Jr.
Okay,
I'm skipping that one. I feel bad. We're not bagging on you, Will, man. Sorry.
Yeah. Do you know who sang the original version of that song?
No, I thought that was Harry Connick Jr.'s song.
Billy Joel.
Oh,
Billy
okay.
Joel is the one who sang that song.
Okay.
Okay, what's the next one?
Let's change it up a bit. Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World.
Louis?
The skies are blue. And clouds are white.
Tariq Cohen would have chosen this one, I think.
He definitely would have chosen him. He probably would have called him Louis. That's my guess. Tariq Cohen would have called him Louis, but... Lewis is the more professional, I guess, presentation of it. Look, Dalton, you get credit here.
You do.
If you're going to New Orleans, you have to play Louis Armstrong. The damn airport's named after him. Well done. You pass. Don't let us give you any crap. This is a play. Great song. Well done.
Hey, Spermar.
This was my grandparents' wedding song.
I don't like video. I don't like being able to. Will looks like actually disappointed. He looks like mad.
I'm not disappointed at all.
It's easier when I can just make jokes and assume he's laughing at them. He's sitting there like, this guy. He's like, I pick songs and all he's doing is bagging on me, calling me too white.
Crapping up my parade here, Permar.
Right.
I don't like seeing the disappointment in your face. I like it being anonymous.
I'll give him credit. He usually finishes strong. Let's see how he finishes.
He got Louis Armstrong. This is a pass-fail test, and that's a pass. Everything else is gravy after that.
There are one or two guys I'm thinking about in my head that if he chooses without a doubt, it's a pass. So we'll see where you're headed.
Well, the word on the street is this song by Lil Wayne is a hit when you're on the aux chord. So let's see if Permar agrees. Miss Officer.
Like what?
Throwing the buck in the latest trap. I got stopped by a lady cop. She got me thinking I could date a cop. Cause her uniform pants were so tight. She read me my rights. She put me in a car. She cut off all the lights.
That was one of the two guys I was thinking. To remain
silent. Oh, no, this is definitely a play. Little Cash Money Records.
Like
also,
what?
We determined this. You have to have these conversations. Like, if you're playing at Knight's Play, which is all par threes, and you make a hole in one, does that still count as a hole in one, right? We've had that discussion.
Yes.
The similar discussion is, do I get to say I've seen Lil Wayne in concert if it was Dreamville Fest and he like only came on stage for like three songs?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen Lil Wayne in concert.
Was this one of the songs?
Do not believe it was, but wouldn't promise. I'm not entirely sure. It was quick. It was a blur.
Okay.
But I will say.
Hey, Spermar.
This is a play. Lil Wayne was a strong pick. But since he is also from New Orleans.
Fats.
I've got to tell you, the Juvenile Tiny Desk NPR concert is an absolute game changer. It will blow your mind. He does Back That Thang Up. I don't know. I forget what I could say.
AZZ up.
And then he does it again.
Mm-hmm.
The same song back to back. And I don't think people assume that if you went to see a Guns N' Roses concert and y'all would play Welcome to the Jungle or play Sweet Child of Mine, then like the anticipation and they play the song, you think, well, there's so much love for this that obviously it would be awesome to play it again. But it is hard to keep that energy. Like, you think it's going to be good playing the second time. It is not an easy thing to do. And when they do it, at first people are like, awesome. You can tell the second time through, the energy is like starting to wane a little bit. And Manny Fresh senses the moment and he takes it out from behind the Tiny Desk and goes out into the crowd to like re-up the energy for his verse. And he saves the whole thing. It's just an amazing live performance. John Batiste is on the whatever you call that thing that you blow
Juvenile
into.
Though, man.
It is the Juvenile Tiny Desk concert capped off with back-to-back Back That Thang Ups is absolutely mesmerizing content. You have to go watch it.
I once went to a concert where a band played. It was in L.A. I forget the venue. And the band played one of their few hits. And then at the end, they just said, hey, this is the last leg of our tour. How about we just play that song one more time in the encore? And they did. And it was great. I never saw
it. And it's still easier to do it, to play it one time in the show and then play it a little bit later. To play them the same song directly back to back, even as big a song as you don't see it happen that often because the band knows the energy just won't be there the second time. It's hard to do playing the same song consecutively.
We need the semi dunk on Will one more time on the way out. Earlier today, we played. So I just said the Carolina Panthers need to survive until they need to survive till week seven, until the bye week. And I referenced Tropic Thunder's Survive, where Robert Downey Jr. is doing the deal. And he legitimately said, with all sincerity, he said out loud on the air, Robert Downey looks a bit different.
That's what he said.
So I just set that up to ask you this. Which movie does he need to watch? Sean Clark recommended Beverly Hills Cop. And we also have on a poll Tropic Thunder, and they're both running away with it. Which of the two movies out of the two would you recommend that he watches since he has seen neither? Tropic Thunder or Beverly Hills Cop, the original?
Only one of those two. I really wish it were. I think 48 Hours is the better Eddie Murphy buddy cop movie.
It's a great movie.
But he's just a little bit slicker in 48 Hours. He's got more confidence.
Sean Clark said either Beverly Hills Cop or Coming to America, and I chose Beverly Hills Cop out of the two.
I'm not as Coming to America, I hear, as a bigger movie. For some reason, I'm in love with 48 Hours.
Right.
I'm going old school. Give me Murphy over Tropic Thunder.
Okay. Got that written down? Noted. But it was the funniest thing that's happened.
He looked a little different. I don't know what it was.
He didn't even look it up. He still doesn't know. Like, he doesn't
know. What happens week 7 of the NFL? Does Bryce Young turn into 6 feet? Is that what happens?
Yes.
Does he magically get bigger after week 7?
That's how it works. By rule. He'll be 6 inches tall. Or at least that's what he says on his Tinder.
All right.
Hayes Permar, thanks for doing this, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.